baby, it reminds me of when a comic is like, this booker won't hire me because they don't like me, and there's this big conspiracy that they have this, and it's like, no, it's, you're making yourself look more stupid than if you just kept quiet about the fact that this booker isn't hiring you. Yeah. Like, you're maybe just okay. Davis Magnet.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I'll go further. Davis Magnet International Baccalaureate Elementary.
That's not the school out in Walpole that just banned Halloween, is it?
No, but we're going to have to talk about that because what?
Okay. Davis Magnet Baccalaureate Elementary. I have no idea.
A public elementary school in Mississippi named after the president of the Confederacy.
Jefferson Davis.
Will be renamed to honor the first black president of the United States. This story made me smile so hard.
Oh, so it's going to be Obama Elementary.
It will be named Barack Obama Magnet Elementary, Magnet International Baccalaureate Elementary. Oh my God, those poor kids having to learn how to spell and pronounce that.
It seems to me you could have just kept the name of the school and put a statue of Garfield out front.
Oh, shush.
For the same amount of money and celebrated another great American.
Hey, I went, first of all, shh. Second of all, the reason I love this story is because...
You are a shameless Obama fangirl. That's reason one.
One of ten.
That's reason one.
It's also because this is in Mississippi. I think it's really amazing that it's making me take back whenever I tell people there are six states I haven't been to in the United States. And I always say the Dakotas, Montana, Oklahoma, and the two really racist ones.
Yeah.
And that's Alabama and Mississippi. And if we have listeners right now from Alabama and Mississippi, come on, guys, you can't really fault me for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the thing. As a northerner, when I hear the last name Davis, I don't immediately think of Jefferson Davis. I am more likely to think of Jim Davis, creator of Garfield. But in the South, I know that as soon as you see that name, that's like, well, it goes, here's another one. The South will rise again.
But it's also, what I love about this is, number one, that it was the PTA president is the one that approved it. And it was suggested, this is what I love, it was suggested by one of the students.
That's cool.
Yeah. Then one of the students, they asked the ways that they can improve their school. And this little girl just said, I believe it was a little girl. Either way, little girl, little boy, a child said, I think we should rename the school after Barack Obama. And they're doing it.
Nice.
And it made me really happy just for the, with everything that's going on in our country.
Yeah.
It's
positive development.
To have a positive development like that.
It's WMFO Medford. They like it when I say that. Walpole Elementary.
Are they going to change the name of their school to Jefferson Davis Elementary?
No.
Then I don't know.
They canceled their annual Halloween parade. This is a local school, by the way.
Say, good. I'm glad we're talking about that. Why?
They canceled. Well, here's what the school principal said in a letter that was sent home to parents. And I quote, "The costume parade is out of our ordinary routine and can be difficult for many students. Also, the parade is not inclusive of all the students, and it is our goal each and every day to ensure all students' individual differences are respected." End quote. They are going to have a Halloween party after school for the children who choose to attend. Everyone, of course, is invited because that's inclusive. And in place of Halloween, the kids will be able to enjoy Black and Orange Spirit Day.
Black and Orange Spirit Day.
Yep. If you live in Walpole and have school-aged children, move. Just move. It's done. It's gone. You're not going to save this. Move. Get out.
In reference to my last story where I said that that'd be difficult for the elementary school children to pronounce, you can go to where I went to elementary school, Charles A. Bernazani School on Furnaceburg Parkway in Quincy. Try to spell that. And they do have a Halloween parade. So please bring your children there instead. Because, oh my goodness.
This is ridiculous. Because,
like, that's, we are getting too,
Do you want to be the parent that has to tell a six-year-old that Halloween's
like,
canceled?
Like, you know that I'm liberal as the day is long, but I'm not even, like, that's the thing. You always say that I'm such a liberal. I am, for all intents and purposes, centrist. Like, I toe the line.
You were an unabashed Obama fangirl. You were not a centrist.
You are
a stealth socialist.
I am not.
You are
never
such,
call me a socialist.
You are such a stealth
ever
socialist.
Again.
You are such a stealth socialist.
Oh my God, I'm gonna throw my laptop at you. Actually, I don't want to ruin my laptop. Maybe I'll throw this root beer bottle at you. Anyways, no, I'm not a socialist. I am a I like to see every side of things and make up my own mind. I'm registered in the Green Party, man. Actually, I'm registered as independent, but I was actually just speaking to my mother about this the other day, whereas like I'm all for people wanting to be sensitive, wanting to not offend anybody, wanting to make things easier for all of the citizens. But I think that we've become kind of a reactionary type of culture in that everything has become un-PC. Everything has become, we have to make a huge deal out of this. Everything has become, well, let's just make it Black and Orange Appreciation
Day. I want to know where these...
Which, by the way, President Trump is... that's the first time I've ever called him that. Donald Trump is our president. Every day is Orange Appreciation Day.
Well, maybe they want to celebrate Obama and Trump, and that's going to be Black and Orange Appreciation Day.
But it's never been Black Appreciation Day.
That's true. No, we have a month
even that whole month, it's never really Black Appreciation
Day. No, that's true. This is America. I want to know where these weenies are coming from. Because there seems to be an epidemic of these weenies in our educational system. Somebody has to be churning them out. And can we find out who is churning them out and stop them?
The internet.
No. This isn't the internet.
No. Because I'm not saying the internet is where they're coming from. I'm saying these people have been here all along. It's just that the internet is suddenly giving them the power to speak.
No, if somebody had done something like this when I was in elementary school, the parents would have been down there with torches and pitchforks.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a combination of the internet and the current overly PC society that we live in.
I have yet to see a single positive reaction
that's because all your friends are like you.
No, because I'm reading the comment sections on this, because this story has gone nationwide now. And it's I'm seeing what people are saying about it. Nobody agrees with this. That I've been able to find. And if there are people out there who agree with this, they're either afraid...
Feel free to call in, because we'd love to hear why.
We have anonymous commentary on the internet. People aren't afraid to like stick their neck out and say, well, no, this is a good idea. No one is saying this is a good idea. This is weenie time.
It is. It's really, I mean, I'm all for...
It makes your people look bad, is what I'm saying. It makes me want to dismiss everything that you say as a leftist.
Stop calling them my people.
They're your people.
They're not my people. I'm not a spokesperson. You saying that they're my people is like going up to a Black person and saying, what's it like to be a Black person?
No, it's not, because you're white and you're privileged and you can take it. So what's wrong with your people?
I'm also a woman.
Don't play the woman card here.
And I'm not trying to say that being me is as difficult in the many ways as being a Black person to any Black person that's living.
Don't say that.
But my point is, this is based on, I don't know if you've seen Sarah Silverman's new show, but it's brilliant.
She's usually pretty funny.
It's not even just funny, it's brilliant. But it's one of those things where you can't say, you're a leftist, you speak for your people. I can't, because I'm a leftist who's intellectual and bends based on new information and bases everything I believe in, which isn't always super liberal, depending on the topic.
That's why you're bad for radio. I need you to be a caricature. I need you to be one-dimensional. I need you to...
That's why I'm awesome for radio in 2017.
I need you to mindlessly spout talking points in the same way that I do.
Oh, boo-hoo. It's not 1982 anymore. Rise with the times, Derek Gary.
I don't... No, those times were good. I feel no need to rise with what's going on.
Well, I wasn't alive then, and I'm jealous. Yeah. So you're going to have to bend to me, homie.
Yeah.
But no, that's like, this is one of those times where that's why I hate when people are like, you're such a staunch liberal, because I'm not. Like, I'm liberal. I lean towards liberal in most of the things that I believe in, especially when it comes to legalizing marijuana and not being racist and not being a, can I say, D-bag on the radio?
You in that form, you can, yes.
Not being a D-bag.
Yeah.
But it's times like this and I'm like, come on, guys. Like,
yeah.
There's PC and there's like, you're being a puss. Like, there's, you're looking for something to be upset about.
Yeah.
And this is not, there are battles worth fighting. This is not one of them.
I'm sure this was done in response to numerous complaints from parents who were concerned that their children felt, I don't know. Halloween is a secular holiday. You dress up, you get candy, what's not to like? We'll get to that in a minute. But in general, as a concept, it's not like we're sitting everybody down and being like, okay, we now have to take part in the stoning of the witches. You know, it's like, you dress up and you have a good time.
I would say, I mean, well, especially even, you know, Christmas, Jesus Christ technically was actually... Jesus of Nazareth was technically actually born in spring. They chose to have Christmas in winter so that people would be less angry because it's winter.
No.
That's what I heard.
No.
I was raised in the Catholic Church. That's what my priest told me.
No. Well, your priest is wrong. They set Christmas when they did as a way of combating pagan... What's the word I'm looking for? Not equinox. There were a number of pagan solstice rituals that took place around the 21st, the 22nd, the solstice.
Tomato, tomato.
So Christmas...
It was to fight the winter solstice.
Christmas was... They all share the same sort of general idea, which is it's been really dark and cold here for a long time, and this is the day when we start moving away from that.
That's a really elongated way of saying exactly what I just said.
But it wasn't... But the particular placement of Christmas, like the major Christian holidays, all exist on the calendar in very close proximity to popular pagan holidays in Europe. So that's why Christmas winds up on the 25th, is because there were a lot of paganism going on at that point. And they
but
were like,
but it's all based around the fact that it's like, oh, it's Christmas, we need something. Or I'm sorry, oh, it's winter, we need something cool to happen in winter.
Yeah, yeah. Winter and spring were the biggest ones by far.
But that's my point, is that I know I grew up with a lot of atheists who still celebrate Christmas just because it's like, yay, Santa Claus and decorating trees and getting presents.
And
it's,
I mean,
not, you don't have to. I that's honestly the thing that bothers me the most about our culture today, is everyone being so, well, it's based on this.
Yeah.
And I have very strong opinions about this. It's like, shut up.
If Christmas,
let your kids go get candy and dress up like a mermaid. Dress up like a mermaid and go get candy.
I can sympathize with the parents that do not want a single religion, which their child may not be involved with, being promoted in the schools. I can get that. Okay, if you're gonna have Christmas and you're gonna have all the Jewish holidays and you're gonna have all the Hindu holidays and you're gonna have all of the Muslim holidays,
you're gonna have all the satanic holidays.
You gotta do everything. Yeah, the Wiccan observances. You gotta do everything, and it's easier for the schools just to say, "Nope, we're not doing any of this," and leave it to the parents to do it at home. That's fine. That's okay. I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with is the people who walk around as if Christmas exists to wound them. And all through the month of December, it's this open wound of, oh my God, there's Christmas trees up and people are saying Merry Christmas and how dare you? And it's like, you know what? If you can't participate in the fun, just let other people participate in it.
Yeah.
Smile and nod and move on.
We're not forcing a gingerbread man down your throat.
No.
And to be honest, when I was growing up, one of my best friends was Jewish. And like when I was in high, in middle school, actually, when I was in high school, everyone was Catholic. So I went to Catholic school. But my best friend in middle school, she was Jewish. And the 3 years I was in middle school, she'd come to my house for our Christmas party. I would go to her house for one of their Hanukkah celebrations, yeah. One of the nights of Hanukkah. And
Christmas is way better.
It was. Oh, she agreed. That's part of why. That's part of why I invited her, because yeah. I told her about it. She's like, "Oh my God, can I come?"
She's
like, "Your mom makes trifle. What's trifle? I don't know, and I don't care. It's awesome. It is awesome." By the way,
there has been a slow but growing conquest of America's Jews with Christmas. Where, like, the tree is now showing up in the house and people are putting up the lights and they're like, you know what? We're still doing Hanukkah, but we like this thing.
But
this
is
good.
But that's part of my point is, like, a Christmas tree has little, depending on what you put on the top of it, but it has little to nothing to do with Christianity.
It's a pagan symbol from the 5th century.
Yeah. We're not asking you to put a nativity scene.
No.
Up in everywhere, which, by the way, if you want to talk about disrespecting other people's religious beliefs, I was raised Catholic and I used to play Dollhouse with a nativity scene every year when my mom put it out.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, my priest said the same thing.
I own a Playmobil nativity scene. I'm pretty sure that's blasphemy. I like it.
Can they hold little candles in their weird hook-shaped hands?
Yes, they can.
Okay, my turn. That was fun. Brother Pence.
Is that Mike Pence?
Close. Or Pence brother, I guess is a better way.
Mike Pence has a brother?
Evidently.
I didn't know that.
He's doing other stuff.
Did he walk out of a football game?
No.
I didn't even know the guy had a brother. This is how little I know about our elected leaders.
That's considering our elected leaders, that's not necessarily an insult to you. It's actually kind of a commendation.
Yeah.
Well, Greg Pence, one of, apparently has multiple brothers, one of Mike Pence's older brothers has filed a tax document indicating that he will seek the Eastern Indiana congressional seat that the vice president and former governor represented for 12 years.
Oh, I love it when these things stay in the family, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I feel so bad for Indiana.
Let's create another political dynasty in this country because those work out so well.
Yeah, he formed the Greg Pence for Congress committee on Monday.
Nope.
And the Associated Press said that Greg Pence, who once ran, this is my favorite thing that I didn't know about them that makes me giggle so hard. The Associated Press said Greg Pence, who once ran the family's now bankrupt chain of convenience stores called Tobacco Road. I repeat, the Pence family's now bankrupt chain of convenience stores called Tobacco Road.
I've heard of Tobacco Road. I think I set foot in one at one point.
Previously said he'd been courted to run for the district, which covers a broad swath of central and southeastern Indiana, including Muncie and Columbus. Tobacco Road.
If there's
Indiana too. Like if it was like one of the Carolinas or Virginia or something, I'd be like, yeah, all right. But Indiana, it makes me feel bad for Parks and Recreation.
If there's a positive to take away from this, that means less time that he'll have to try and pray the gay out of young people.
This is fair.
So,
but he's one of his old, like, I don't even know. Maybe Mike Pence has like 9 older brothers.
Oh,
we don't
man.
Know.
Great.
Does maybe it? There's plenty of Pences running around America being like, women can't get abortions and we're going to kill gay people.
The Pences are coming to convert us all. Hide your women and children and
dun,
yourselves.
Dun, dun.
Okay, what do we got here? Not that one, but the other one. Where did you go? The wall.
All in all, it's just another brick in it.
Not the Roger Waters version. Despite what anyone may try and tell you about this.
It's not getting built because Trump's a dummy?
No.
Then I'm stumped.
Party City is under fire for this Halloween costume, which is a brick wall poncho with the words "The Wall" painted on it in white. It is not a reference to Roger Waters.
I imagine it's in reference to the second thing
yes,
I said.
Yes, it is in fact a reference to the Donald Trump thing. Meanwhile, HalloweenCostumes.com was busy this week removing its Anne Frank costume for young girls. Because, yes, it's still too soon.
How do you...
Anne Frank Halloween costume for young girls.
How do you even do that? You, like, hold a diary and wear David Starr?
No, it was this sort of, like, overcoat skirt thing with a beret and...
That's ridiculous.
You can still buy it online. You can still find it online as, like, World War II girls
That reminds
costume.
Me, I need a robe, slippers, and a sailor's hat.
The one good thing I can say about all of this is they at least didn't have the sexy Anne Frank costume, which you more or less expect is going to happen at this point.
Which, what if you were going to have a sexy Anne Frank costume, you'd have to have what was the name of the guy she had a crush on? I can't remember. Vlad.
Pater.
Pater, yeah. You'd have to have a sexy Pater costume, too.
Yeah. They do have the sexy Border Patrol agent costume.
Oh, great.
So that you can be trashy and racist all at once.
Well, that's my plan. Well, what's funny is my plan for Halloween, spoiler alert, but none of my friends listen to this, so I don't really care, which is weird. I have a lot of friends who aren't like my close friends that I go to Halloween parties with. I don't want to reveal my costume to them. But I have friends who listen to me, who aren't going to the same Halloween party as me. I'm being Hugh Hefner. But when I was like looking, you know, I like to put together my Halloween costumes organically. I don't like buying like Halloween.com, like, here's your costume. But when I was looking into just like pictures of him to do it for, there is a sexy female Hugh Hefner costume you can buy. And I'm like, I don't get it.
No, I don't
like,
either.
Like, I'd already... Like,
why wouldn't you just dress as a bunny?
Yeah, exactly. Which is, by the way, any listeners out there that want to come to a Halloween party with me on October 28th, who are male and feel like dressing like a Playboy bunny, I could use a sidekick. But I've already gotten my men's silk black pajamas. I was going to say, it would actually be kind of hilarious if you did it, Derek.
I got the boobs.
You do.
The moves.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't know. Have you ever seen Now and Then?
No.
It's a coming of age story of girls in the 1970s, but the character that develops early tapes her boobs down. My plan is to do that to make it more. But I'm sitting there being like, no, I'm like tucking my hair into a sailor thing and dyeing it gray, make my eyebrows thicker and like looking like a man. Why would I want to be sexy Hugh Hefner?
Yeah.
Part of the whole point is that he was not sexy at all in the best way because he kept banging blondes.
I might be in for being a bunny. We'll talk about it.
Yeah. That's a tavern at the end of the world conversation.
Okay, last one for you is Sour Patch Kids.
Are my favorite food in the entire world? Are fat-free?
No.
They are, actually.
You were, but you were more onto it with your first response.
My favorite food in the entire world.
You're not alone in that. According to Candy.com, which crunched the numbers on candy sales in every state of America and published an interactive map of the top three candies in every state of America, Sour Patch Kids are number one in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Sour Patch Kids are our favorite candy. Then it gets weird. Number three is saltwater taffy. Okay,
that's a weird New England thing.
It's a regional thing. I don't expect anybody to get it, but there it is. Number two, Butterfinger.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
Who's eating all the Butterfingers?
Who's eating this many Butterfingers, Massachusetts?
Nobody likes Butterfingers. Incidentally,
I would have guessed Swedish Fish, to be perfectly frank.
Our close cousins up in Maine, mm-hmm. which used to be part of Massachusetts, Sour Patch Kids is also number one for them.
Get it.
But their number two and three are more respectable. Number two is M&M's. Number three is Starburst.
Peanut M&M's are my mom's favorite.
Those are both good choices. New Hampshire, a little bit north of here. They're Snickers people.
I was going to say that. When you said Butterfinger, I was surprised that it wasn't Snickers or... what's the other one that's like Snickers, but a little bit different? Milky Way.
Well, it's interesting because New Hampshire borrows a little bit from both because they like Snickers the best, but their number two is Starburst, which is popular up in Maine. Mm-hmm. And we all know that you can get Moxie in New Hampshire, and that goes well with Starburst. Number three is Saltwater Taffy, which they're clearly getting from us.
Oh, we're such weird New England people.
New York is big on the Sour Patch Kids, too. They were number one in New York. Vermont... Milky Way.
I was going to say, I'm surprised that Milky Way isn't up there in the mix. Because that's for people that don't really like peanuts, but still like a weird nougat and caramel.
There's a marketing campaign here for the candy bar people, where you've got like Vermont on one side and New Hampshire on the other, and they're arguing over whether Snickers or Milky Way is the best.
Wouldn't that be the funniest battle royale ever?
Number two in Vermont is M&M's. Number three is Skittles, so they're kind of in line with the rest of the state. Now we get to Connecticut. All right. Number three was M&M's. Fine. Number two, Milky Way. Fine. You're south of Vermont. We get it. Their favorite candy? Almond Joy.
I know you're angry about this, but that's actually my favorite candy bar.
Ugh.
I like coconut and almond together. It tastes good.
They're still better than Rhode Island.
What's Rhode Island?
Number two is M&M's. Again, respectful. We're cool with that. Number three is Twix. I can get Twix. Twix is fun. Their favorite candy? Halloween?
Oh, don't say candy corn.
Candy corn.
What? Candy corn is the grossest candy in the history of the world.
Nearly 18,000 pounds of candy corn have been shipped to Rhode Island.
Like, how do you make sugar taste that bad?
I don't know.
Sugar is one of the most delicious ingredients of any food ever. And candy corn is horrible when it's nearly purely sugar.
You want to know who else is big on the candy corn? Because they're not the only state where candy corn is number one. Michigan likes them some candy corn.
Yeah, but Michigan's boring and they have pie. Why would they care about candy when they have pie?
New Mexico
is
all about the candy corn.
Reiterate what I just said, except minus pie.
And company that you really don't want to be in, Alabama, loves them some candy corn. Alabama. Yeah.
God, I had an argument. It's so weird that you're bringing this up because I had an argument with someone about candy corn like 2 days ago. When they said candy corn is better than regular corn, to which, you know, I don't remember what they said next because I blacked out in a fit of rage.
I don't even recognize the validity of candy corn as a food.
Me neither.
Rhode Island, man. Rhode Island.
But Sour Patch Kids represent.
855-915.
Especially since they have the blue ones.
855-915-9636 is the telephone number. On the Town with Mikey D is coming up at 9 o'clock with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. We're coming back, and when we come back, Harvey Weinstein, he's a pig, but we seem to have solved all of the problems with sexism in the United States. No, good God, no, we haven't. We'll talk about what's going on with that. None of it's good, I think is safe to say.
Fair.
But we'll get caught up on what's happening right after this here on WMFO Medford.
Rocky Horror Picture Show is a must for all of you. If you don't go and see it, I shall personally come around to your houses and drag you out by the scruff of the neck. I shall belt you around the mouth and mouth you around the belt. Do you understand what I'm saying? See the Rocky Horror Picture Show, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
When you get bumped on a racetrack, the key is to stay in control.
NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace.
Same goes for the highway. That's why professional truck drivers need to buckle up every trip, every time. Your safety belt can keep you in position behind the wheel and in control, looking out for yourself and everybody else. That's what a professional driver does. So be ready, be buckled, and remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, my fantastic co-host, Mr. Derek Gary.
Hoorah!
We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a if you want to give us a call at 855-915-WMFO.
It's the last 30 minutes of the show, folks. We're getting punchy.
We've been punchy the whole show, but hey, we're keeping it real, man. But we're talking about the fantastic butthead, Mr. Harvey Weinstein, and the various reactions to the allegations that have come out against him in the past weeks, and the almost no effect that it's had in our society.
I think, honestly, butthead is too... Can we just call him a pig?
Oh, that's what I...
Let's just call him a pig.
The reason I called him a butthead is the word that I had, like, that first popped into my head as I was just spewing out our call sign was not appropriate to say on the radio without getting some fines.
Yeah. You didn't take any meetings with him while you were out there, did you?
I did not, both because I'm not big boobed and, not big boobed and skinny waisted. Let's put it that way.
Ah, yes. You got to be both.
You do. But also because, this story is very interesting. I don't think we even necessarily have to brief anybody on it.
No.
But suffice it to say, Rose McGowan kind of led the charge on this one. But many A-list, B-list, et cetera, actresses have come out against Harvey Weinstein alleging sexual assaults. Above and below, whatever, I don't know. Everyone has a different definition of what sexual assault is.
Well, I think this is one of the things that I think needs to happen in the midst of all of this is
defining it.
We need a common vocabulary, and we need a common vocabulary that doesn't dismiss or challenge the things that people claim or their memories or their experiences, but a common vocabulary where we can say, all right, harassment is this, sexual assault is this.
Yes.
It is a step toward establishing that. Sexual assault within the context of this program will be defined as unwanted touching of any kind.
Or that and beyond, I suppose.
Unwanted touching of any kind. That covers,
yeah.
If there is physical interaction taking place.
Yeah, unwanted physical, and then harassment would be...
Constantly asking you out.
Yeah, would be the insinuation that unwanted touching is wanted.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
by the person asking for
it. The sort of general cajoling of women that goes on amongst most men, because most men do not understand
means. Which is super fun. Sense the sarcasm in my voice.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot of Gwyneth Paltrow has come out.
Yeah, but she had her Marianne. She had her boyfriend Brad Pitt go have a talk with Harvey, and that was the end of her problems. So,
how many problems is Gwyneth Paltrow really have anyway?
99, but a Brad ain't one.
Can I have it?
Or is it 99, but a Pitt ain't one? It can go either way.
But well, what's been very interesting about this happening, which, as someone who's lived in Los Angeles, I mean, I have mixed emotions about this coming out because, and as someone who's lived in Los Angeles and is very actively in the entertainment industry.
Because gosh darn it, all them orgies out there are fun.
Well, it's on the one hand, the things I've been hearing about the behavior of Harvey Weinstein are obviously incredibly unacceptable and not fair when you're just, I can't tell you how many times as a comedian I've been very excited by meeting a man who's higher up than me in the industry who can help me out in the industry and is talking to me as though he respects my talent and my art and the hard work that I've put in, only to have him finish with putting his hand on my knee and being like, so what are you doing later? And I'm like, oh, okay, so none of this was about actually respecting me as a performer. All of this was just to pretend that and butter me up. But with that being said, it is, when this story broke, my first reaction was, this is news?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as someone who's been acting since in some capacity, I mean, I did theater my whole life. I used to audition for things. I was almost one of the Zoom kids. Thank God that fell through.
Oh, because, come on. You could have had that great striped shirt.
Because one of my friends actually got to be one, and he was tortured mercilessly.
Oh, the Zoom kids are super cool. Come on, one, three, four.
Come on and Zoom. Yeah, I had to do that like 30 times.
Sing it right. It's come on and Zoom, 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 Zoom.
That's the next line, dude. Don't question me on my Zoom knowledge. Anyways, but it's something, I mean, the casting couch concept, it's something that's really real and
what,
has
been. What, Zoom?
No, not at Zoom.
Okay.
Shut up.
All right. I just want to make sure nothing bad is going on over our local PBS affiliate.
No, but I'm saying in the industry in general, the casting couch concept is something that has never, it's always been kind of a low buzz. It's always been there. It's always been, I mean, even, I always think about, what was the girl who played, was her name Natasha Richardson? The girl who played the foreign girl and like the foreign exchange student in American Pie, which they never, I call her the foreign girl. I'm not being on PC. They never actually say where she's from or where she's from.
I think that is Natasha Richardson.
Natasha Richardson.
I think so, yeah.
She auditioned for that part, and literally the casting director said to her, you're hot, but your tits are too small. Go get a boob job, and we'll reconsider you.
Yeah.
And she went and got a boob job and then hooked up with the casting director, and that's how she got that part. It's not an unheard-of concept in Hollywood.
Well,
it's actually a quite commonplace concept in Hollywood. I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying that it's okay. And I do think it's great that these actresses have kind of finally shown a light in the general public about it with reference to what happens to us every day outside of the entertainment industry, because it is, and I guess we'll get into that in a few moments, but all right, we don't have much time. So
here's from the broader perspective in Hollywood, here's what happens. You have men in charge of everything. And they have power and they have access and they can make or break your career. For any given opportunity that's out there, there are how many young actresses trying to get it? 5, 10, 50?
Yeah.
So
500?
Between those actresses, you have a lot of similar personality types, similar physical characteristics. So unless there is something...
Oh yeah, you walk into a room and you feel like you've met 50 of your twins.
Yeah, yeah. Like when they're calling for a specific type, that's the type that they get. And you had no idea you had that many people who looked and sounded like you walking around until you walk into a casting call. Out of those 50 people who'll show up, one might be the most talented, but one might be talented enough and willing to do whatever the producer wants and willing to do whatever the director wants. And that is a part of what creates monsters like Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
Is because...
Because he knows that that's a concept that exists.
We have been hearing from women who take their craft seriously, and take their work seriously and take themselves seriously. We haven't been hearing from the women who slept their way to the top, and we're perfectly fine with that. And that's one of the nuances that's been a little bit lost in all of this. Yes, I am not dismissing Harvey Weinstein's behavior in any way, shape, or form. It is monstrous. There's no excuse for it. Yeah. It is monstrous because Harvey Weinstein, because he's been around women like that, just assumes that all women are like that. And if a woman says no to him, oh, she's just being coy. This is just the way that she likes to play.
She's playing the game.
She's playing the game. Exactly. And because I have these opportunities and because I can get rid of her and get someone who will sleep with me, she's going to do what I want. That is a rare attitude of entitlement that you find in men only in very specific industries like
president,
movies and banking.
And the president.
Well,
sorry,
yeah, well,
I have this horrible
he's in that whole,
allergies to this microphone.
He's in that whole Wall Street investment banking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where you find this kind of behavior.
And it's not excusing it, but it is explaining it. I know what you're saying.
It is behavior that has been reinforced in these men over and over again throughout their careers. The more powerful they become, the more women want to sleep with them to get that opportunity.
Well, and that's the damned if you do, damned if you don't of it, is that, of course, this behavior is unacceptable in just moral, not even moral, in civilized society, but because there are many uncivilized people who will accept it, those that want to go the civilized route end up having to deal with the Harvey Weinsteins of the world. And I can't tell you how many, obviously on a much smaller scale, Harvey Weinstein, who, by the way, resigned from his company yesterday, but much smaller level, I've had to deal with much smaller scale Harvey Weinsteins. I can't tell you how many over the course of, you know, since I started doing comedy, since I started really pursuing things. And
because it permeates the industry.
It does, because that's going on at the top. It trickles down. They see them acting that way and say, oh, I get to do this too. And it's just like you said, I'm not going to name any names because I have more class than the people I'm about to reference. But there, I can't tell you how many female comedians there have been who I've seen get shows and I'm like, how did she get that?
Yeah.
And with you know, bookers, I've schmoozed, really worked hard to show them that I was really good, and it took a lot for me to prove to them that I was worthy of booking. And then I find out she blew him in a car.
Yeah.
That happens. And well, what I wanted to reference before that I wanted to make sure we had time for is what this did lead to, which perhaps has done nothing, which is why I think we need to do more, but it's at least a start. It's inspired the Me Too movement, which has been, I know you're rolling your eyes,
well,
Derek.
For the handful of Americans who are still using Facebook, it's relevant, yes.
But, and Twitter. But it's at least opened, I don't think it's doing anything really in a long-term impactful way. It's at least opening, it's opening the conversation.
I would disagree with that because I think what it has done is it has put a certain group of men on notice.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's not going I'm saying it's not going to change the world overnight. I'm sorry, I misspoke in the way that I described that. I definitely think it's made an impact. And you're exactly right. It's put certain men on notice. But I'm saying that it's the first step in. And I revealed something very big and personal about myself with that, which was that I don't like using the R word, but I was sexually assaulted when I was in college. And it was other women sharing similar experiences that made me feel okay to do that. And not only made me feel okay, but made me feel as though I should, for that exact reason, that men, not men like Derek, because Derek rules, and other than him jokingly saying things to me that he knows I can take,
yes,
is very respectful of women.
My job is to wind everybody up when I'm behind this microphone.
But men who, on lesser scales, think it's okay to put their hand on my butt, think it's okay to, like, hug me too close so my boobs press against them. Many think it's okay to make a comment about the way I look. The FedEx driver who cut me off and I said, hey, ma'am, what the hell? And he said, if you lost weight, you'd be prettier in response. Men saying things like that, reading about me being raped in college. Damn it, I just used the word. Maybe they'll stop next time. And maybe they'll, and I'm not trying to draw attention. I didn't say it for people to feel bad for me. I didn't say it to make people feel bad in general. I said it for men like that to maybe stop and think for a moment.
Yeah.
And say, maybe what I'm doing is inappropriate. And maybe I should just see that this woman has so much to offer that doesn't involve me being like, nice tits.
Yeah.
And that I think is why, as much as, like I said, it's such a gray area with this whole, not a gray area, but it's such a tough situation with this whole Harvey Weinstein thing. But I think that it was the impetus for something so important. And it's unfortunately, we've had to keep bringing this conversation up over and over and over and over and over again. But that's not really shocking considering it's only in the past, I don't know, when was the women's suffrage movement? 1920?
Yeah, 1920s.
And
they got the vote, the economy collapsed, and America's been a disaster since. But hey, you know what? We also taught women how to read. I thought that was a mistake.
Hey, it's a total coincidence. Shut up. And the comedy bounced back. But if you think comparatively in the amount of times that human beings have been in existence, 1920 was pretty much the time when women started.
Yeah.
Didn't start being equal, started edging towards equality and towards...
Look, women aren't equal. You're not equal. You're nowhere near it. Anybody who's sitting around saying you are is out of their mind.
I mean, we are, but we're not viewed as equal quite yet.
Society does not recognize you. Individuals will recognize you as equal, but society as a whole...
Yeah, society as a whole, we're secondary citizens.
Yes.
And this is in that, you know, Susan B. Anthony is like... dancing around in her grave right now, like, hell yeah, girls, get it, you're doing it. Like, this was a really big step in pushing the cause forward of having us be respected.
This is also, you know, an ongoing story because this is just the latest powerful person in the media who has been undone by bad behavior toward women.
Yeah.
And we saw it with Roger Ailes, we've seen it with Bill O'Reilly. We're taking out Weinstein. We got a guy over at
Affleck was tossed into the mix Amazon. Of this as well.
Yeah. We got a guy over at Amazon has lost his job. The more of this that comes out, because I really do feel that we're at a watershed moment with this right now where the attitude has shifted and people are looking at these stories because you know somebody. And if you've been on Facebook at all this week, you know somebody who has had bad things happen to them. We all do.
Well, and if we're being perfectly frank, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
And
nothing
creates action among people like a personal connection to something. And that's what was, this is where I'm usually not into the Me Too tags or the hashtag activism or any of this kind of stuff.
Oh, me neither.
But here's.
I resisted doing this, actually.
Here's where I think this is powerful and necessary. You cannot talk about sexual assault in the abstract, which is what we tend to do. Mm-hmm. You cannot talk about it in the abstract when you know someone that it's happened to, because it's no longer anonymous person who was assaulted. It's now somebody who you're close to, somebody who you spend time with, somebody who you respect and admire. And that changes perception because a lot of people will look at women, and particularly somebody like you, who is powerful and thoughtful and very much in control of situations, and say, you know, well, look at Shay. Shay's never had to deal with anything like this. And the reality is that you have.
Yeah.
And I've known other people, you know, throughout my life who've been through situations like this. So this isn't new territory for me. I know, you know, even growing up, I knew that men were pigs and men could be jerks and bad things happened. But for everybody who's been able to sort of pull the wool over their head and say, I don't know anybody that's been raped. Well, log on to Facebook. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Because the numbers are appalling. and the numbers are completely unacceptable.
Yeah. Well, and that I think that I totally agree, and that is, I think the point is kind of twofold, is number one, empowering women to feel comfortable being open about it and to spread the word and to come out and say, like, this isn't cool. And in the amount that I've seen on Facebook in the past 2-3 days in reference to that, I've seen an equal amount of men, which I was sitting there, like, I honestly laughed, of men saying, oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Of men saying, like, I'm appalled. And this isn't, and you know, the movement isn't just about, some women have been luckier that they've only been sexually harassed and not sexually assaulted. That's
yeah.
such a weird thing to say. But the truth is, if you pretty much every woman that you know has been sexually harassed in some way, has been made uncomfortable by a man inappropriately in some way, whether it be just a simple bout of sexual harassment or in some of our cases, the more extreme version, which is sexual assault. And that's what's so important about this movement, is not just giving women an avenue through which to speak about it, but giving men a view into what it's like to be us, that it's suddenly, it's like suddenly having your eyes open. It's like seeing color for the first time. It's like suddenly understanding something that you never thought that you would understand.
Well, and I think the other side of it is men are realizing that if you have a penis, if you are the owner of a penis, and you are a heterosexual, at one time or another, you have probably terrified a woman somewhere.
Even well, that and that's
whether
the,
whether that was your intent or not, at one time or another, and I count myself among this too.
Well, and
you
so
know, and not because you know, not because I was like, she won't go out with me, I'm going to make her suffer. Because you get a little too eager in pursuing somebody. You're like, you want to go out, and you don't hear the no.
Well, and that's the thing, is there's different degrees of this, and some of it is entirely innocent. And women aren't innocent in this either. I remember when I first started doing comedy, there was a comic I made out with, and we were, like, earlier in the night, we were both sleeping on the same floor, and I didn't realize he was asleep, and I kissed him goodnight. The next morning, he's like, did you kiss me while I was sleeping? And I was like, oh my God, that was, like, assault. But obviously, it was innocent. In the same way, there's lots of instances like that where the man is actually, it was completely innocent. He didn't know he was doing anything wrong, but it does make you stop and think, well, maybe that was not appropriate.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I've seen a lot the past couple days, which is men being like, if I've ever made you uncomfortable, if I've ever held your waist too long, yeah. you know, like things
guys,
like
you
that.
Guys, you've done it. You have. You absolutely
you
have. One time or another.
We will forgive you unless you, you know, are one of the ones I mentioned in my Facebook post at Shea Spillane. You can look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, thank you for bringing that forward, which is takes a tremendous amount of courage to talk about.
And that's
this.
Well, and I honestly, I avoided it for 24 hours, and then I'm seeing all these other women come forward with not maybe to the degree of what I spoke about, but I just started feeling how powerful a movement this is, and how important it is for not only for men to know about this, for women to feel like they're not alone.
And yeah, and I think
because we don't. That's the other thing. Women, we like to pretend everything's okay. And before yesterday, I had maybe spoken to 5 people in my whole life about it.
And that's another powerful aspect of this.
And now I'm talking to all, I don't know, 27 of you.
No, there's more than 27 of you out there.
I'm just joking.
But that strikes me as being another powerful aspect of what's happening, is that women do feel empowered by this. And women are realizing, wait, I'm not the only one that had this experience. And there is a strength that you can draw from that. And, you know, yes, there is going to be a collective wave of shock and revulsion from men as a result of this. Because a lot of men who think of themselves as good guys and allies are realizing that, no, you're just another creep.
Yeah, you're just another butt face.
You're a creep with a good patter and maybe the right intentions, but you're just another creep. And, you know, that's a tough realization. Nobody likes hearing that about themselves. And nobody likes, you know, coming to the realization that, Jesus, maybe I did something that really hurt somebody.
Yeah.
And if you're okay with the fact that you've done something that really hurt somebody, then you're a monster. And like Harvey Weinstein, you should probably be investigated and hopefully removed from polite society where we have no use for you.
Or at the very least, fired from your own company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. The board voted to fire him and he conveniently stepped down.
Yeah.
Good riddance.
Yeah.
To all you Harvey Weinsteins out there. Unless you change your ways, then welcome to humane society.
Even then, I never trust a...
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of a... never.
Yeah. Never trust somebody who switches their colors because it's not... it's usually not sincere.
Yeah.
That's a predator...
Wolf in sheep's clothing style?
That's a predator waiting for a future opportunity. More often than not is what that is.
Quite.
It is WMFO Medford on the Towel, Mikey D, coming up at 9 o'clock. Programming note. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get off of this, but programming note. Next week, no Chris Earle. I'm going to be here from 5 to 7 playing some Halloween music.
Get it.
So we'll get an awesome Halloween show and then followed up by The Big Picture.
Oh, please play the song that me and my quote-unquote band used to sing when we were in fifth grade.
And what song is that?
We did the mash.
Oh,
did
Monster
the
Mash.
Monster Mash.
I usually...
The Monster Mash.
It was a Somerville
it
boy,
It was
you
a
know.
Graveyard Smash. What? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Bobby Boris Pickett was a Somerville boy.
Me and my two best friends, called ourselves the Three Hebes. Our teacher's name was Miss Hebert. We had no idea of the...
racial overtones?
Of the racial overtones, yeah. Of that. But we made the whole class listen to us sing that over and over and over and over and over again.
Anti-Semitic overtones, I think, is what I'm looking for in that.
We were all Catholic, too. We didn't mean it, guys.
Yeah, well, hey.
Her name was Miss Hebert. May she rest in peace. She died of colon cancer.
Don't try and get away with that in Newton, is what I'm telling you. So, I'm not particularly of a mood to go and do light, fluffy things.
Oh, I do have a... Can I promote my show tomorrow? That's
absolutely
kind of light and fluffy.
Absolutely, yeah.
Tomorrow night, so for those of you who don't know, the Comedy Studio will be changing locations at the end of this year. It's famous, awesome comedy club here in Boston that's just been here forever and been the start for so many famous comics like Louis C.K., Eugene Merman. The list just keeps going and going and going. But tomorrow night, I'll be performing there at 8 o'clock. Doors open at 7:30. It's at 1238 Mass Ave, and it's on the third floor of the Hong Kong restaurant. I highly recommend their Crab Rangoon, because yum. But the lineup's going to be awesome, and not just because I'm on it, but, you know, mainly because I'm on it. But for those of you who've been wondering exactly how tall I am, which I talk about all the time, you can actually see it.
Yeah, she's like my height. It's amazing.
I'm like 2 inches taller than you.
No, you're not. No, you're not. You wish you were. That's not. They're staying at the Hong Kong through the end of January or through the end of December.
Yes. So yeah. they're going to be there. That's the thing, is it's one of your last chances to see it in its original location, which honestly, I don't know how many comedy fans there are out there who actually take a look at the room you're watching comedy in, but it's such a perfect setup to see a good show in, like stage height, closeness of the audience, all of that. It's really such an enjoyable place to see a show, to the point that my civilian friends actually come more than once to see me there. That's saying something. Hey, Pierce, thank you.
I may actually darken that stage before they close down. I've been invited to do that.
Do it!
And the thing about it is I haven't been on stage in years. And
whatever.
You know, I don't want to.